He wrote the 23rd Psalm when he was out shepherding the sheep. And he said, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And you know, David had some hard times after that. David had some, you know, some devastating things happen in his life after that. But you know, he never went out and crossed that out of that 23rd Psalm that he wrote. He didn't go back and retract it and say, wait a minute, I was wrong. Goodness and mercy didn't follow me. Amen. No matter what happened, he knew the goodness and mercy of God was following him and would eventually triumph in his life and bring him through to victory and blessing. Amen. Hallelujah. And so it is with us today. God is faithful. God, yes, we all go through some. Being a Christian, following God doesn't mean you're exempt from tests and trials. We know that. Doesn't mean you're exempt from attacks. We know that. But it means that we've got a strength and a grace on the inside of us through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the Holy Spirit to put us over. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. Amen? Amen. Well, I'm not going to charge you a dime for that. That's all free. That's all extra right there. Hallelujah. So we'll get into the message right now. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for every person that is assembled here today. Thank you, Lord, for everyone that's joined us on YouTube and for everyone that will be listening to this later on our podcast. Father, I pray for each and every one of us that we would have ears to hear, that we would have eyes to see. And we bind every distraction right now that would try to steal the Word of God from us today in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you that you confirm your word today, and I thank you for working, Lord, wonderful things in every family, in every household, in every individual, in every life today. In the name of Jesus, we thank you and we praise you for it. And everyone that agreed said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to concentrate on two chapters in the Bible, in the Gospels this morning, Luke chapter 8 and also Mark chapter 5, because in these two chapters in the Bible, we find accounts of Jesus healing and delivering three separate individuals in what were seemingly hopeless situations. One case even is a girl who actually died and Jesus raised her from the dead. And these true accounts tell us that Jesus turns hopeless situations around. Amen. And that's the title of my message today. Jesus turns hopeless situations around. Will you say it with me? Let's say it together. Jesus turns hopeless situations around. Let's say it again. Jesus turns hopeless situations around. Amen. Hallelujah. Can we say, I think we ought to say it one more time. Let's say, Jesus turns hopeless situations around. Amen. Praise God. Now, the Bible says He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So you know what that means? It means He's still turning hopeless situations around. Now, what we are going to read here, this very possibly, all of this happened in one day. These accounts of these three individuals where their hopeless situation was turned around, it very, very possibly, very likely, we don't have, definite proof that it was, but if you read through the narrative, then it's very likely this all happened in one day. So we're going to pick up in Luke chapter 8. We're going to start in Luke. In Luke chapter 8 and verse 26, then they sailed to the country of the Gadarenes, which is opposite Galilee, just a short distance across from the western side of the Sea of Galilee to the eastern side of the Sea of Galilee. And when he stepped out on the land, there met him a certain man from the city who had demons for a long time. Think about that. You show up in a place and the first person to welcome you is a guy who has had demons for a long time. He had demons for a long time and he wore no clothes. So not only a guy is the first person to greet you in this new town, but he's not got any clothes on. Nor did he live in a house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out, fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, what have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. for it had often seized him, and he was kept under guard, bound with chains and shackles, and he broke the bonds and was driven by the demon into the wilderness. So again, the Bible says back in verse 27 that this man had demons for what? For a long time. Everybody say, for a long time. For a long time. He'd been in this condition, demon-possessed, for a long time. The Bible also says that he wore no clothes. Do you know that's a spiritual problem? Do you know wanting to take your clothes off and parade around naked is a spiritual problem? It's a demon problem. The Bible also says he did not live in a house, but in the tombs. Think about that. Now, he had a house. Later on, Jesus, after he's delivered, Jesus tells him, go back to your house. So he had one, but he just wasn't living in it. Because of the demon possession, he chose to live in the tombs. Now, here's another issue. Homelessness is not just an economic problem. You do know that, don't you?
Yes.
It's a spiritual problem. That's why just throwing money into homelessness will never solve. I'm not saying we shouldn't be compassionate and that we shouldn't give aid to people that are homeless, but homelessness is more than just an economic problem. It is a spiritual problem. It's a spiritual issue. Just throwing money at it will never solve it. There has to be a spiritual answer for homelessness to be solved. Amen? You see these big cities, that they've poured millions and millions of dollars into dealing with homelessness, and it's only getting worse. It's not getting better.
Yep.
The current presidential administration has even recently said the other day, we're gonna supply crack addicts with pipes. Government funding that. That's not going to solve the addiction problem. Doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out, right? Amen? No, it's a spiritual problem that must be solved with a spiritual solution, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ and the love of God and the power of God. Amen? So this man, he's been in this condition for a long time. They even tried to keep him bound with chains and with shackles, and he would break them. And the Bible says he was driven by the demon into the wilderness. See that? He was driven by the demon into the wilderness. Here's a little side thought as well that I won't charge you for today. Demons drive and pressure, but the Holy Spirit, by contrast, leads. If you're being driven, if you're being pressured, that's not God. That's coming from a demonic origin. If you're being driven, pressured, and pushed, demons drive. The Holy Spirit leads. Look at this. By contrast, it says he was driven by the demon into the wilderness. Look at Luke chapter 4, verse 1. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was what? Led by the Spirit into the wilderness. It's a whole different thing of being... If you're being driven somewhere for some purpose as opposed to being led there.
Yeah.
Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness as well, but there was a divine purpose involved there.
Right.
Amen? The Holy Spirit leads, demons drive and pressure.
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
Now, let's get back to this man. We're going to go to Mark now. And in Mark chapter 5, in verse 5, it tells us a little bit more about him as well. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains. Now, same guy, Mark records it, Luke records it, so we're looking at Mark's account here. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. We see this man's homeless. We see he's wearing no clothes, and now we see he's cutting himself. These are all issues that our society and the people are dealing with today. The devil has no new tricks. He still afflicts and torments people the same way that he did 2,000 years ago. Amen? And the answer today to these issues is still the same as it was 2,000 years ago. Jesus showing up. Amen? See, the devil, he was crying out, he was cutting himself. We have, you know, young people, teenagers that get involved in cutting themselves. And see, the devil will drive you to... Why do they do that? It's self-hatred. It's self-loathing that causes a person to do that. The devil will drive you to hate yourself. Did you know that? The devil will fill your mind with such hopelessness to the point that you would even inflict harm upon yourself. That's what the devil does. So this man, he's a sad, pitiful, hopeless case until Jesus shows up. Until Jesus comes on the scene. In verse 6 of Mark 5, when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshiped him. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me." Now that was a demon speaking out of him, saying that. "For he said to him, 'Come out of the man, unclean spirit.'" Who's Jesus talking to? He's talking to the demon, the unclean spirit, right? And who's talking back? The unclean spirit, the demon, is talking out of the man. "Do not torment me." All right? Other time, this demon spoke up and said, "Have you come to torment us before the time?" There's going to be a time where these demons, Satan and these demons, are bound forever. Amen. They know it's not time for that, though. They know they've got a right to be here because Adam and Eve sold out to Satan and opened the door. And so they've got a right to be here till Adam's lease runs out, so to speak. All right? But thank God we have authority over them. All right. So he says, "For he said to him, 'Come out of the man, unclean spirit.'" Verse 9, "Then he asked him, 'What is your name?' And he answered, saying," the demon answering out of the man, he's not asking the man his name, he's asking the demon. "My name is Legion, for we are many." Also, he begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. So there was a legion, there were many demons possessing this man, but there was one head demon that was in charge. That was kind of the leader, and his name was Legion. He said, "Because we're many," he said. Verse 11. "Now a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountains. So all the demons begged him, saying, 'Send us into the swine that we may enter them.' And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. There were about 2,000, and the herd ran..." That's a big herd of pigs, isn't it? 2,000. That's a lot of bacon. All right? Sometimes the grocery store's out of the bacon that I like. Maybe this is what happened. Maybe there was an encounter like this, and they had to... "Okay, we just lost 2,000. Here we got to come up with some..." 2,000 of them. "And they ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. So those who fed the swine fled, and they told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that had happened." Look at verse 15. "Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion." Remember, he was naked. He was cutting himself. He was bound with chains, but he would break the chains. I mean, just a totally hopeless case. But here he is in one instant now. The Bible says that he is sitting and he's clothed and in his right mind. What a miracle. And they were afraid because of that. See, demonic possession is still real today. You know that, right? Demonic activity, demonic possession, demonic oppression, it's still real today. The devil's still here, and it's still taking place today. And there's no amount, you know, the world has tried to solve these problems with medication, and I'm not opposed to folks taking medication when they need to, but they've tried to deal with demonic spiritual issues with medication, with counseling. And I'm certainly not opposed to counseling. There's value in that. But these cases are not going to be healed by and delivered. These folks are not going to be delivered by medication or by counseling. That's right. Amen? Alone. That can't bring a cure. That can't deliver someone who's so bound and so hopeless. But just like not only is demon possession real today and still here today, so is Jesus. Amen. So is this solution, this answer that was applied 2,000 years ago, Jesus is still here today. Amen. He's real today. His name carries authority when spoken from a believing heart. Amen. Praise God. So this man is miraculously delivered. One moment he's crying out, raving, wandering about among the tombs, naked. And the next moment he's sitting at the feet of Jesus. He's clothed and in his right mind. Amen. This hopeless case. Hallelujah. You may be thinking, as I read this story, you may be thinking about somebody you know. You may be thinking about a relative. They're not beyond hope. I said they're not beyond hope. Don't give up believing God for them. They're not beyond hope. Jesus can turn hopeless cases and hopeless situations around. And he's still doing it. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Let's pick it up back in Luke, verse 35. Luke 8, 35. Then they went out to see what had happened and came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had departed. Thank God those demons departed. And what happened to him once the demons had departed? He was sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. Glory to God. And they were afraid. They also who had seen it told them by what means he who had been demon possessed was healed. Then the whole multitude of the surrounding region of the Gadarenes asked him to depart from them. For they were seized with great fear. And you know what he did? He said, all right, if you don't want me here, I'll leave. He got into the boat and returned. Now the man from whom the demons had departed begged him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away saying, return to your own house and tell what great things God has done for you. And he went his way and proclaimed throughout the region or throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done for him. Notice Jesus told him, return to where? Your own house. He had a house. He had a house, proving my point that he just wasn't living it. Go back to your house now. You're in your right mind. You're wearing clothes again. You don't want to cut yourself anymore. Hallelujah. Go back. Go and tell everybody what great things God has done for you. Amen. And he did. But what a sad commentary on the people of that region that they were afraid when they saw the man delivered and they asked Jesus to leave. You know, we can get so used to the abnormal and so comfortable with the abnormal that when the normal shows up, when what God wants to do shows up, we'd say, well, I think I'd rather just have the abnormal. I got comfortable with that. I got used to that. It's a sad commentary that these folks would rather have their demons than Jesus. Some folks would rather just keep their demons than to have Jesus. That's a sad commentary, isn't it? Amen. Well, thank God the man was delivered. This hopeless case was delivered. Amen. Praise God. So Jesus gets into the boat and sails back across the Sea of Galilee from the east side back over to the west side. Again, it's not a long trip at all. And they land back at Capernaum, which is where Jesus had his headquarters for his ministry. You know, he grew up in Nazareth, but then he came down from Nazareth down to the Galilee region, down to Capernaum, and that's where he set up his headquarters. So they come back over there, and we pick it back up in verse 40 now of Luke 8. So it was when Jesus returned that the multitude welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was the ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house. For he had an only daughter about 12 years of age. And what was going on with her? She was dying. A hopeless situation. Right? His daughter is dying. And he's not been able to do anything about it. It's a hopeless situation. So Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, and I've actually been to the synagogue in Capernaum. When I went to Israel a little over 2 years ago, now we were in Capernaum. We saw the synagogue, the ruins of the old synagogue there in Capernaum. So this man, Jairus, was ruler of this synagogue in Capernaum. His only daughter is dying, and so he comes to Jesus and he appeals to Jesus. And let's pick it up. We'll go over to Mark's gospel and read Mark's account. in Mark 5:22, "And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, 'My little daughter lies at the point of death.'" It's a hopeless situation. She's at the point of death. But look at what he says now. "Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed, and she will live." Amen. Jairus is in faith, isn't he?
Yes.
He's in faith. So Jesus went with him. Jesus didn't have to say, "Wait a minute, let me pray and see if it's God's will to heal her." You never find Jesus saying, "Wait a minute, I got to check with the Father and see if he wants to heal her or not." Never, ever, ever. No, anytime anyone came to Jesus for healing, he said, "I will come." Yes. Amen. Yes. And so he comes to him, Jairus does, and Jesus says, Jesus comes with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. So Jairus is in faith. He's believing. He believes that if he can get Jesus to come and lay his hands on his daughter, that she's going to be healed and she will live. That's faith. Yes. He was certain. He was positive. So he's operating in faith here. Amen. All right. So now, while they're on the way, verse 25, the very next verse. Now, a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years. Here we get the third case interjected right in here before we can get the second case solved. That's why they got the idea to do that in TV shows where they've got three different things going on, you know, at the same time. Sometimes if you watch a TV show, there's three different scenarios taking place, and they finally at the end of the show they intersect. Right? Okay. This happens in real life sometimes. It happened with Jesus here. So he's on his way to heal Jairus' daughter. And it says in verse 22 or 25, a certain woman had a flow of blood for how long?
12 years.
12 years. We have another hopeless case. Here's a woman that she's been on her period for 12 years. For 12 years. She's just on a continual period for 12 years. Ladies, wouldn't that be exhausting? Wouldn't that be terrible? Wouldn't that be horrible? So she can't get the blood to stop. All right. She's had a flow of blood for 12 years, and it's going on again a long time. The demon-possessed man, he'd been that way, the Bible says, for a long time. For a long time. Here she's been suffering this for 12 years. All right. And she had suffered many things from many physicians. That's kind of a bad commentary on the physicians, isn't it? She had suffered from them. And I know they were doing their best. Some of you probably have suffered some things from physicians, even though they were doing their best. You kind of came out worse than what you went in. All right? And that's what happened to her. They were doing their best. And again, this is not a knock on medical science, but they're practicing medicine. They're still practicing. They don't have it perfected yet, right? Amen. And I believe in going to the doctor and getting good medical care. Please don't misunderstand me. But she had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. So not only had she had this condition for 12 years, but it had cost her all of her money. Now she was broke. And not only that, but she had seen no sign of improvement in those 12 years. In fact, it was going the other direction. She was getting worse. Can you agree with me that this is a hopeless situation? Until. Glory to God. Until what? Verse 27. When she heard about Jesus. Hallelujah. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, "If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well."
Amen.
Think about that. Here's a woman, I mean, talk about someone that should just be defeated and depressed and quitting and giving up. This ought to be the woman. She's been in this condition 12 years. It's not getting any better. It's getting worse. Her condition's worsening. She's spent all of her money on the doctors, and now she's broke. But when she heard about Jesus, oh my, what do you think she heard? She had to have heard such a positive report about Jesus. She had to have heard maybe what happened And in another place where the people came to him and everybody that touched him was made whole. And she had to have heard something like that because the thought came into her mind, you know what? If I touch him, I'll be made well.
That's right.
Hallelujah. All of a sudden, in her mind, even though her condition was still hopeless, in her mind and in her heart, it's not hopeless anymore.
Amen.
Praise God. And that's where hopelessness has to change in your situation. It has to change in your mind and in your heart. And it changed when she heard about Jesus. It changed in her mind and in her heart. I don't have to stay this way anymore. If I touch his clothes, I'll be made well. So she had that thought, and then she began to say it. Now the Bible says here she came in touch, for she said, the actual order was she heard. Amen. Faith comes by hearing, Romans 10:17 tells us. So she heard, and when she heard, faith came. And when faith came, she began to say. Because faith has to be released. And it's released through word and through action. Amen. So she heard about Jesus, and she began to say, if I touch his clothes, I'll be made well. And she probably was walking through her kitchen saying, you know, if I touch his clothes, maybe a neighbor came and shared with her and told her, I don't know who, but she heard that and her heart began to be filled with faith. If I touch his clothes, I'll be made well. If I touch his clothes, you know, I'll be made well. And then all of a sudden she thought, what am I doing staying here in my kitchen? If I touch his clothes. And so she jumped out of the house. She wasn't supposed to be out of the house. A woman in her condition. She was supposed to stay isolated, and she wasn't supposed to be out in public in her condition, but she didn't care. She broke through that, and there was a, remember Jesus, what's he doing? Now remember, he's on his way to Jairus' house to heal Jairus' daughter, and there's a great crowd thronging him, a great crowd around him, because Jairus is a well-known person in the community. He's ruler of the synagogue, so all the people know about his daughter. Everybody wants to see what Jesus is going to do. Jesus has just gotten back from the other side of Galilee there, and so everybody wants to find out what's going to happen. They're thronging him. They're crowding around him. And so she's obviously in a weakened condition, but she presses through that crowd, makes her way through that crowd, and touches Jesus. Amen? Hallelujah. And what happened? In verse 29, immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him. Now think about this. Who initiated this healing? She did, didn't she? Jesus was not aware that she was even around until she touched his garment. And all of a sudden, he felt something. He, knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, Who touched my clothes? Praise God. But his disciples said to him, Jesus, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me? There's like 100 candidates, Jesus. All of you got this big crowd around you. There's maybe 100 people have touched you in the last 3 minutes here. Well, Jesus, in verse 46 of Luke 8, it says this, but Jesus said, somebody touched me, for I perceived power going out from me. Hallelujah. That woman may have been a nobody. She might not have been well known like Jairus was, the ruler of the synagogue, but when she touched Jesus, she was a somebody.
Amen.
Woo! Amen. Somebody touched me, Jesus said. Not a nobody, but somebody. Amen. Hallelujah. She was a somebody to Jesus. So she initiated her miracle. Her faith, her touch in faith, when she touched Jesus in faith, that's why Jesus noticed her touch and not all those other people that were touching him. Did you see that? Do you understand that? Because she touched him in faith. She touched him believing. She touched him after saying, if I touch his clothes, I'm going to be made well. Amen? She touched him in faith. Everybody else was touching him and pressing him out of curiosity. But curiosity won't get you healed. Faith will, though. Amen. Faith will. She touched him. She initiated her healing. Amen. Now, the good news is you can still touch him today. So, well, he's not here, Pastor. He's back up in heaven. Well, yeah, but he sent the Holy Spirit. And you know what? That power, healing power, is present everywhere. It's present everywhere. Just like, you know, this building is wired for electricity. Do you know if you need to power something, an electrical appliance, all you have to do is find an outlet and plug it in? There's power in this building. There's power in this room. All you got to do is plug into it. Do you know there's also something in this room here called Wi-Fi? And if I give you the password, then all of a sudden you can be on the internet. Amen. You can be on Wi-Fi. Yeah, we're sending this message live streaming around the world right now because we've plugged into the Wi-Fi. It's here, but you got to have the password to plug into it, to tap into it. The password to tap into the healing power of Jesus is faith. Yeah. Amen. Amen. That power is present everywhere. You can still touch him today when you release your faith. Amen. Amen. That's the good news. Praise God. Verse 32 of Mark 5. And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, my power has made you well." Huh? Did I miss something? Daughter, by a sovereign act of God, you've been made well. Did I miss something? What does it say? Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Hallelujah. See, if her faith could make her well, then guess what? Your faith can make you well. In fact, won't you say, if her faith made her well, then my faith can make me well. Amen? Hallelujah. If her faith, and Reed, come on back up if you would. If her faith could turn her hopeless situation around, guess what? Your faith can turn your hopeless situation around. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. All right. We got to get back to Jairus' daughter here. So we got two hopeless situations turned around now. And again, not bad for a day's work for Jesus, right? He delivers this man that had been bound by demons a long time, just a totally hopeless case. But now the man is sitting and clothed and in his right mind. He sails back across the Sea of Galilee. Again, it's just a short distance, not far. So very likely all this happens in the same day. He's on his way to heal Jairus' daughter. The woman with the issue of blood comes on the scene. Now she's well. Now she's whole. Her years of suffering are over. She can go about living a normal life again. Amen. Isn't it wonderful? Yes. Praise God. And now we go back to Jairus' daughter in Mark 5, verse 35. While he was still speaking, while he was still saying, "Daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." While he was still saying that, all of a sudden these messengers from Jairus' house come up and say, and Jairus is right there with him. But then back at Jairus' house, something's happened. The girl's died. And the messengers come and say, "Why trouble? Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" So now get this. Well, so Jairus, we pointed out, Jairus was in faith, right?
Yes.
Jairus was believing, right?
Yes.
And Jairus had said, "Come and lay your hands on her. My little daughter's lying at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she will live." He's in faith. But guess what? Even though he's in faith, the situation, the circumstance has gone from bad to worse, to the worst possible, to death. What are you going to do in your situation when you're believing God and it looks like it's gone from bad to worse. The devil will try to get you to doubt and say, see, you weren't believing God to begin with. You weren't in faith to begin with, because if you were in faith, it would have started to get better. Well, not in Jairus' case. Amen? So the report comes, your daughter's dead. Don't bother. No need for Jesus to come. Just call it off right now. Let him go. And, you know, he's probably tired. He's had a busy day. Don't bother him. Don't trouble the teacher any further. That was the report. Jesus hears that. He's interrupted telling the woman with the issue of blood, daughter, your faith has made you well. And now Jairus hears that. And he sees that miracle, and he sees that that woman's faith made her well, and now it looks like his faith didn't work because his daughter's dead. Are you getting this? Yeah. But thank God, with Jesus, it's not too late.
Right.
They told him, they said, Jairus, it's too late. It's too late. But with Jesus, it's never too late. It's not over until God says it's over. I said, in your life, in your situation, it's not over until God says it's over. And God's not said it's over. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. He can turn any hopeless situation around, even death itself. Verse 36, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, your daughter's dead, don't bother the teacher, call it off, no need for Jesus to come. Too late. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said, and I can just picture him grabbing Jairus by the collar and saying, look at me, look at me. And he says to him, do not be afraid, only believe. Do not be afraid, only believe. Believe. See, for our hopeless situations to be turned around, there'll be times where you'll get bad news. There'll be times where it looks like, oh, well, it's really over now. It looked hopeless, but boy, it really is hopeless now. But you know what Jesus says to us in those moments? Don't be afraid. Don't stop believing. You're on the right track. You're believing. Your believing has got me this far. Let me finish what I came to do. Let Jesus finish what he came to do in your life.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And in your situation, let him finish.
Amen.
Amen. Jesus just needed one thing from Jairus. Just one thing. Jesus didn't say this. He didn't say, just get out of the way. Just get out of the way. I'll handle it. No, he told Jairus, I need one thing from you, and that's your faith. I need you to keep believing.
Amen.
And that's the one thing that Jesus needs from you and your situation. He needs you to keep believing. Don't give up. Only believe. Amen? And Luke chapter 8 verse 50. But when Jesus heard it, he answered saying, do not be afraid. Only believe, and she will be made well. Well, who was the first one to say she will be made well? It was Jairus, wasn't it? It was Jairus. Jairus came to Jesus and said, come lay your hands on her that she may be healed, and she will live.
Amen.
Jesus took his confession and brought it back to him.
Amen.
Do not be afraid, only believe, she will be made well. Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Yes.
See, when it seems hopeless, when you've received devastating news that overwhelms you, do not be afraid. Only believe. Keep believing. Verse 38, it says, then he came into the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a tumult and those who wept and wailed loudly. When he came in, he said to them, why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping. Hallelujah. What's the difference between death and sleep? Death is a permanent condition, but sleep is a temporary condition. Well, Jesus had inside information, as Dad Hagin used to say. Glory to God. One of his church members died, fell into some machinery, and working in the oil industry in Texas, fell into some machinery and was pronounced dead at the scene. And then they came back and they said, well, maybe we have detected, maybe he's not quite dead, but he'll never make it. We can't even move him to the hospital. If we try to even move him to the hospital, he'll just the trauma of that will kill him. And so Brother Hagin was called, and he went out there and met with, this was in the last church that he pastored, and Beverly Rackley was in that church. If you, some of y'all know the Rackleys that we've supported through the years, but this man that fell into the machinery, Beverly knew him personally. I talked to her about him. Mr. Haynes was his name. And so he came out there to where the accident had occurred, Brother Hagin did, and he met his wife out there. And so his wife said, the doctor said, Daddy's not going to make it. You know, she called her husband Daddy. Some wives do that when they have kids and all. The doctor said, Daddy's not going to make it. And Brother Hagin said, yeah, that's what they're saying. She said, aren't you glad we have inside information?
Oh, yeah.
Glory to God, we've got inside information. Yes. Amen. Yes. Jesus had inside information. Yes. Jesus said, she's not dead, she's sleeping. This is temporary. The state she's in right now is not permanent. It's temporary. The hopeless situation that you're facing right now is not permanent. It's temporary if you'll believe God.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. She's not dead. She's sleeping. Verse 40. And they ridiculed him. What was Jesus doing? He was making a statement of faith. Amen. Do you know that if you truly step out in faith and declare things in faith, do you know there'll be people that will ridicule you? Isn't that right? What I'm so glad that Jesus, that his goal, that his purpose was not to say, I really need to impress these religious leaders and these people, and I really need to backtrack here, and I really need to rephrase this and reword this that it'll be more palatable to them. I'm so glad he didn't do that. I'm so glad he didn't that he didn't allow the ridicule to deter him. I'm so glad he didn't allow the ridicule to change what he said and what he believed and what he was going to do. Amen. You know, your situation, your miracle might just be on the other side of ridicule. Did you hear me? Amen. They ridiculed him. And so he says, but picking up verse 40, but when he had put them all outside, well, what do you do with folks that are full of unbelief? You put them out. Amen. Amen. He took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him, Peter, James, and John, and entered where the child was lying. All right. In verse 41, then he took the child by the hand and said to her, Talitha Kumi, which is translated, little girl, I say to you, arise. Immediately, the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age, and they were overcome with great amazement. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Not bad for a day's work. Amen. A hopeless, demon-possessed man delivered. A woman that had suffered for 12 years and was getting worse instead of better and had spent all of her money and was broke now. All of a sudden, she's healed and well and can go on living life now. And now, Jairus, whose daughter had died, She was at the point of death when he came to Jesus. She dies when he and Jesus are on the way back, but now she's alive again. Jesus can turn hopeless situations around. And I say can because he's the same. Hebrews 13:8 says this, that he's the same. We have that one, Kim. That he's the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same. If he turned these situations around then, and if he's the same, then he can still do it today. He can still do it today. Let's stand up and worship him right now. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I don't want to just preach a message to you today. I want to help you to connect with Jesus today. I want to help you to touch the hem of his garment today. Hallelujah. And receive your miracle and see your hopeless situation begin to turn around today. So if you've got a situation, as I was preaching, if you say, yeah, that fits, maybe it's your life, maybe it's your health, maybe it's your finances, maybe it's with a family member, there's a situation that seems hopeless, I want you to come down here right now. I want to agree with you. I want to believe God with you for this situation to be turned around in the name of Jesus. He's turning hopeless situations around. Amen? If you've got a situation that seems hopeless, come right now. I want to believe God with you. Praise God. Praise God. Just line up on this side over here. David, you line them up. Or on this side over here. If you're coming down this side, you can just line up right here. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's praise God. Just raise your hands in the congregation. Stretch your hands out toward these that have come. Lord, we thank you that you're still turning hopeless situations around. And Lord, I thank you as we set ourselves in agreement in faith with these that have come. I thank you that you're working. And Lord, we hear you speaking to us saying, do not be afraid, only believe. That's the only thing you need from us, Lord, is you just need our faith. You just need us to believe. And Lord, these that have taken this step to come today, Lord, they're believing. They're believing you. They're looking to you. Hallelujah. So Father, we set ourselves in agreement today in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Lord, we worship you. Lord, we thank you that you're the healer. Lord, we thank you that your power is released right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We'll start right here, Dave. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, we set ourselves in agreement with Judy right now. And Father, we believe that this situation that seems hopeless, Lord, we put you on to work in it right now. We put the miracle worker to work in this situation right now. Yes. We agree, Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus, yes, that Jesus shows up in this situation.
Yes.
That man, that demon-possessed man was, yes, hopeless until Jesus came.
Yes.
The woman with the issue of blood, her situation was hopeless until she heard about Jesus.
Yes.
So, Lord, we thank you that you've stepped in to this situation right now in Jesus' name. And we thank you that it turns around in Jesus' name. We agree. And we thank you for it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, we invite you in. We invite you into this situation in Denise's life. Lord Jesus, by our faith, we lay hold of you. By our faith, we touch you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we thank you, Lord, for wholeness. We thank you for healing. We thank you, Lord, that this situation that seems hopeless is turned around. Satan, take your hands off. You tormenting spirits, in Jesus' name, be gone. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, be free. Be made whole. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we agree right now. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we invite you into this situation in Miss Alice's life. We thank you that you turned this situation around. We release our faith now, Lord. In Jesus' name. Thank you that you're working, Lord. Thank you that you're working. We fear not. We only believe. You just need our faith, Lord. You just need us to believe. And Miss Alice is believing. So, Father, we agree in Jesus' name that this situation is no longer hopeless. Thank you, Lord, that in her mind and in her heart, and this is for you too, Denise, in your mind and in your heart, this situation is no longer hopeless. The woman with the issue of blood, her situation turned around when she heard about Jesus in her mind and in her heart. Hallelujah. And then it turned around physically. Thank you, Father, that in her mind and in her heart, it's turned around today. And we thank you that it shall be manifested in her physical body in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. There's the anointing of God. And that power is not coming out of me, but it's coming from Jesus. Amen. And it's coming through this touch in Jesus' name. That's the power of God. Your faith has laid hold of it in Jesus' name. Thank you for wholeness. Thank you, Father, for restoration in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, that this situation is turned around beginning right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jairus' situation turned around the moment he came to Jesus. Even though it seemed to get worse, the moment he came to Jesus, that's when it began to turn around. Hallelujah. Your situation is turned around beginning this moment as your faith is released in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we invite you right now into this situation. Lord, I agree with David right now. In Jesus' name, we invite you into this situation that seems hopeless, and we thank you for turning it around in Jesus' name. All you're looking for, Lord, is simple faith and trust. And David trusts you today, Lord. His faith is in you, Lord Jesus. You're still the miracle worker. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so you're still able to do the things that you did when you walked on this earth, the things that we read about in the Gospels. You're still doing them today. And we believe and we agree that you're doing it in David's life, in his situation, in Jesus' name. We thank you for it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 We agree. We agree. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Step right up here a couple of steps, Mary, if you would. Father, in the name of Jesus, we agree right now and we thank you that this situation that seems hopeless, in Jesus' name, we invite you, Lord. We invite you into this situation and we thank you that it's turned around beginning right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. In her health, in her finances, in every area of her life, I sense that there's more than one situation that you're up here for. And Lord, I thank you that each and every one of them, nothing's too hard for you, nothing's too big. You did all of this in one day, Jesus, that we just read about. So I thank you. I thank you. I thank you in Jesus' name. I thank you. I thank you that you're turning these things around in Mary's life. We agree, Lord. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you for showing yourself strong in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we thank you for it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
It's regarding my brother.
Yeah. Okay. All right. In the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you for Cheryl's brother. We believe in Jesus' name. Lord, you can turn around family situations. You can turn around situations, Lord, that are heavy on our hearts for our loved ones. And so, Lord, we invite you to come in and turn this situation. Rapabanoche de di vecchidili atananga da lavarla mamonje gandaya tadoga malande adasso. Ha, ha. We invite you, Jesus. We invite you, Jesus. We invite you, Jesus. Come in this situation. Do your miraculous work. Do your mighty work. We praise you for it. Yeah, lay hold of it. Yeah, that's it. In the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you that this, Lord, that even when we receive news that is devastating to us, news, Lord, that we don't want to hear, in the name of Jesus, thank you that it's not too late. It's not too late. It was not too late when they came with that report, your daughter's dead, don't trouble Jesus any further. It was not too late. Jesus, you raised her up. And so, Lord, I thank you. I thank you in Jesus' name. In Angela's situation, it's not too late. It's not too late. Satan, we bind you in Jesus' name. Satan, we take authority over you in Jesus' name. Take your hands off right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you for victory, Lord. We thank you for turnaround, Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Yeah. 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 Shout it. 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 Yeah. Shout it. Yeah. Praise him for it. Yes. 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 Reach out to him with your faith. No matter. Fear not, only believe. Yes. Yes. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you that this situation that seems dark, it seems hopeless, Lord, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that Charles's mind is filled with new thoughts about this. With hopeful thoughts about this situation, and that his heart is filled with hopeful thoughts, faith-filled thoughts about this situation. And I thank you, those words will come out of his mouth in the name of Jesus, and you'll use those words, and it'll be said of Charles, as it was said with the woman with the issue of blood, "Son, your faith has made you well. Son, your faith has turned this situation around. Go in peace. Go in peace. Go in peace. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name." Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Wonderful. Praise God. Lord, I thank you in the name of Jesus. Shalice, yes. Lord, I thank you for Shalice. I thank you for working in her life right now. And I thank you, Father, this situation that seems hopeless. Jesus, we invite you into this situation right now. In the name of Jesus, we invite you to come and do your work right now. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Father, this situation that seems dark, that seems hopeless. Lord, once you've entered in, it's hopeless no more. Thank you, Lord. We don't have to figure out how you're going to do it. We don't have to figure out the way you're going to do it. But all we have to do, all you want, is our faith. And Shalice is saying today that she believes you. Shalice is saying today that she trusts you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We agree, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Now, Bonnie says you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit?
Yes, sir.
Okay, wonderful. All right. The Bible says in Acts chapter 8, Peter and John came to the new believers in Samaria. They'd received Jesus. They were born again. But it says they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Jesus said this. He said, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? And so I'm just going to lead you in a prayer where you're going to ask the Lord to fill you with the Holy Spirit. Then I'm going to lay my hands on you, and the Holy Spirit's going to come on you, and you're going to be filled. That's God's promise. Your Father in heaven will give. How much more, He says, will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? All we have to do is ask Him. So, Father, I pray for Shalice right now. She's your daughter. She's your child. And I thank you, Lord, for filling her with your Holy Spirit. Just pray this after me, Shalice. Just say, Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
I come in the name of Jesus.
I come in the name of Jesus.
Jesus is my Lord.
Jesus is my Lord.
And my Savior.
And my Savior.
And Heavenly Father.
And Heavenly Father.
You have promised.
You have promised.
The gift of the Holy Spirit.
The gift of the Holy Spirit.
To all your children.
To all your children.
So, Father, right now.
Father, right now,
I receive the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Lord,
for filling me now.
And I will enter in
to a new dimension
in my walk with you.
I receive the Holy Spirit
right now
in Jesus' name.
Be filled. He's filling you right now in the name of Jesus. Now, Acts 2 says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues. Bonnie, are you still up here?
Yes, I am.
Just put your hand on Shalice's tummy right there and just pray. And in the name of Jesus, it says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues. So I want you just to lift your voice and begin to speak out of your spirit, out of here. That's it. That's it. That's it. Kita le manga le menda de bereshete ya daganda le koji de meke kelevepere mengele kalanda de menskedia de dekaleva. That's it. That's it. Shoti ya da kasiki ya da kata sola va kata de manga de beshekia de keleve beranda de varlakande. That's it. That's it. Socha da la labad karisia babala va kama mandandiri atanangala vedle mendaya. Hallelujah.